You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hena Baba. Now we'll go from the bus line to the picket line. Cesar Chavez is remembered for leading the struggle to reform labor laws for exploited workers, and his United Farm Workers movement grabbed the attention of the world. Chavez organized nonviolent protests, hunger strikes, grape boycotts, and marches throughout California, which ultimately led to many improvements for farm workers. Chavez was also a father of 8 children. His oldest son, Fernando Chavez, is an attorney in San Jose. He works with many Latino clients, handling cases involving employment disputes, personal injury, and immigration. For our latest series on the families of revolutionaries, KALW's Lila Day sat down with Fernando Chavez and asked him what was it like at home growing up with a revolutionary father.
We always say, my brothers and sisters and I, especially the older ones, we always say we were the first organizers along with my dad, because when my dad first started organizing in the San Joaquin Valley, it was not uncommon for the children, myself and my 3 oldest sisters, to go out and help canvass a community with flyers telling the workers that there was going to be a meeting. So that's what we did. So doing that and being part of that, I realized and recognized that he was gone. It was for a purpose. So, you know, when he didn't show up for my baseball games, he didn't show up for my basketball games, you know, I never really took it personal.
Did he ever express that he wanted to be there more, or was it just something that he...
Oh, no, he did. He did. The important events. I mean, he came, let's see. He didn't come to my high school graduation. He didn't come to my college graduation. But he came to my law school graduation. And he came to a couple. He came to when I got married. And he came to a couple of other events.
But in your family circumstance, it's a little different. I mean, your father would go on hunger strikes.
Right.
Right? Did you at all ever feel that he was putting his work before his family?
At that time, no. I think we all recognized that it was dangerous. The doctors told us it was dangerous. I had no reason to disbelieve him. But, you know, he was so committed to what he was doing. I don't think anybody ever contemplated trying to talk him out of it. The last one he did, I mean, he was already in his 60s. I mean, that was very painful. That took a lot out of him physically. Even I think emotionally and spiritually, that drained a lot of his, a big part of his life.
Right, right. And he spent a big part of his life after that getting healthy, trying to get healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that you think that you could ever do?
No. It takes a very special person. It's a rare, rare individual. They just, there's not many of them.
When you do have family with such a strong and powerful history, do you feel that that's something that that your father was born with, or something that he sort of learned?
That's a very good question. I don't know whether anybody's born like that. I would think that people are moved, motivated, and shaped by events in their life. If people ask me, well, what were you left? I mean, what did he leave you? Obviously, he never left you money. He didn't leave you a trust fund. He didn't leave you anything. What did he leave you? Well, he left me with a sense of pride, a sense of dignity, a sense of moral obligation, sometimes to a fault, and a sense in my identity, who I am, and what I could be.
Mm-hmm. So I was just going to continue talking about the work that you do. When you first went to law school, was it to practice labor law?
You know, that's funny. I had no inclination nor desire to go to law school. I sort of got swept up in going to law school.
Your family want you to go?
I think my grandmother did. I was going to be an architect. Where, how, and why I had that notion in my head, I have no idea. But that was my thought. I was going to be an architect.
Did your dad like that idea?
I think he did. Mm-hmm. It was different. there were very few Latino architects, very few lawyers. But when I decided to go to law school, I think he was happy. I thought, you know, he said, well, that's good. That gives you another piece of armor to be able to use in your battle for equality and justice.
I'm speaking with Fernando Chavez, the son of Cesar Chavez. If your father was here today, what issue do you think that he would stand strong behind?
Well, one of the big issues in this country is the whole issue of immigration reform. I think it's absolutely ludicrous that we don't have a comprehensive reform legislation or a bill that would allow some 12 million people to adjust their status.
When you think of your father, what is one of the memories that keep coming back to you?
I have two memories. One where I was when I was very young, and one when I was a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
When my dad was around on weekends in the morning, I distinctly I close my eyes and I can hear it. He would play his music from the 40s, the 50s, big band era. And in the evenings when he was around, I mean, him and my mom we'd sit down, all eight of us, like a theater, and my mom and my dad would dance. And people don't, you know, they think he's such a serious side that he had a really good sense of humor. He had a good sense of humor. And he liked music, he liked jazz. And I just visualized him and mom dancing swing all the time.
That's a very energetic dance as well.
Very energetic. And they were very good at it.
Well, what were you doing when he was dancing?
Yeah, we'd
what were you
watch
doing?
And we'd clap and we'd laugh. And then the other vivid memory I have is when I got a little bit older and he was organizing, and this happened so many times that the first events, what would happen is we'd go into community, we'd leaflet, and they'd say there's going to be a meeting at someone's home. Come so you can learn about your rights and joining a union, what have you. And since I was the eldest, I would go with him. And I remember going to the first 10, 15. The only people there were the people whose home were being used and my dad and me. Nobody showed up. And, you know, by the fifth or sixth time on the way home one night, I said, Dad, why aren't people coming? I mean, I must have been like 13 or 14. He says, because people are frightened. I said, okay. So we do it again. Three or four more times, nobody shows up. I said, Dad, people are still coming. I said, what are we going to do? He said, work harder. That was his line. It wasn't working. Got to work harder. You've got to work harder. So of all the lessons that I think I've ever learned, that may have been the most powerful. I think that was the most powerful lesson.